Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 27th video of the Old Testament Survey course. In this section, we're going to give a brief introduction to the poetic books of the Old Testament. Now, by way of review, we've completed the first two major divisions, the Torah and the historical books, and now we're starting the third. And also by way of reminder, the poetic books are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And here's another review of the place of these books in history. And notice the poetic books, they don't cover a specific historical period, but each book is written and addresses a different specific time in various places in Israel's history. And we'll talk about the specific date for each book when we look at them individually. Now, one last bit of review is that there are three major types of communication in the Old Testament: discourse, narrative, and poetry. And you've probably guessed from the name that the poetic books are primarily poetry. Now, by the way, as we'll see, much of the prophetic books are also poetry, so the category name for this division is not perfect, but it's a traditional name for these books, so we're gonna go with it. Now, since the poetic books are almost all poetry, I want to talk just a little bit about the main characteristics of Hebrew poetry. The three main characteristics of Hebrew poetry can be summarized with the acronym TIP, T-I-P. Now, T stands for terseness. Terseness is a fancy word. It means economy of language. That is, it's the opposite of long-winded elaboration. Hebrew poetry, it says a lot, but it does it with very few words. It's condensed language. And it invites you to fill in the blanks from the little which it does say. Now, I need to make a serious caution. The author tells you how to fill in the blanks by what he does write, but he's asking you to infer from what he says. Therefore, poetic language and the terseness of poetry is not an invitation for you to fill in the blanks with your own imagination or to make the poetry say whatever you fancy it to say. Rather, it's a challenge to understand what the author is actually saying through his economy of language. In other words, they clearly imply what they mean. Then the I stands for imagery and symbolic language. And just like English poetry, Hebrew poetry often uses symbolism, imagery, and figurative language. For instance, God is said to be a shepherd, or it says that God is my rock and my fortress. Now, it's not saying that God is literally a shepherd or a literal rock, but it's saying something about God by comparing him with a shepherd or a rock, etc. You know, the wisdom books tell us, look at the ants, or hear the heavens speaking. In other words, poetic language uses illustrations from nature and from everyday life in order to communicate what is unknown by comparing it with something that is known from everyday life. And then the P stands for parallelism. Now, parallelism is something that we don't see in English poetry. It's foreign to us, but Hebrew poetry is full of it. Hebrew poetry doesn't rhyme sounds like English poetry often does. But what Hebrew poetry does is it rhymes meanings. It puts together two or more lines that say something very similar, and then these lines, they reinforce the meaning of one another. Now, this is best seen with a few examples. First, Psalm 101, verse 7 says, "No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence." Now, notice that these two lines say very similar things. They don't say exactly the same thing, but very similar. The meanings rhyme together. Each line is meant to reinforce the other, so that the meaning the author is given is in the combination of both lines together. They mutually explain and reinforce one another. Let me give you another example from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, which says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people." Now, these two lines, they also say very similar things, but they do it in a slightly different way. They rhyme meanings by saying one thing and then saying its opposite. That is, the two sides of the same coin. Righteousness good, evil bad, which is saying the same thing, but by hitting both sides of it. And as before, the two lines, they work together to give the whole meaning. And by the way, parallelism is not always two lines. Sometimes it involves three or even more lines. Now, there's much more we could talk about parallelism. But the point is to recognize that the parallel lines, they intentionally go together. Therefore, when you see them, don't read parallel poetic lines on their own. Always read them together as one whole idea. And see the meaning in the combination of the parallel lines together. So remember, Hebrew poetry is TIP, terseness, imagery, and parallelism. Now moving on, there are two types of books in the poetic books. The first is the book of Psalms. And Psalms is a category by itself in the Bible. It's a songbook, it's a prayer book, it's a theology book, and much more, all wrapped up into one. It's a collection of songs and prayers written by humans addressed to God. But they're also for the edification and education of anybody who's listening in. Now, of course, we're going to look at the book of Psalms much more closely in a future section. But then the rest of the poetic books, they are characterized as wisdom literature. Now, wisdom literature is the record of the wisdom of the Israelite leaders and sages. And there's two general types of wisdom literature. They're often called speculative wisdom and proverbial wisdom. Now, the book of Proverbs is proverbial wisdom, as you might have guessed from the title. And then the other three books in this section are called speculative wisdom. Now, speculative wisdom, that term does not mean that the content of these books is just speculation. But what this term means is that these books, they address just one main topic for the entire book. The entire book is about really one idea that it's addressing. And it's addressing it deep and elaborately and in multiple facets, but really one topic. And then the difference is that proverbial wisdom in the book of Proverbs, it addresses a multitude of different topics in a much smaller scope. Now, the nature of wisdom in the Old Testament, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically later, but just by way of introduction, it is the application of Torah and God's covenant to all of life. It's the Israelites trying to figure out how to live in light of God's revelation for every part of their life. That is, it fills in details how it works in every type of situation. It's instructions passed down from parent to child about how to live a blessed life in God's instruction. And instructions and principles how to put it into practice. Now, one final issue. I mentioned that these books, they were written from people speaking to God or from human wisdom, just speaking to other humans. In other words, it's a different kind of revelation than Torah or the prophetic history. It is not God speaking directly to his people. It's not thus says the Lord, like law and prophecy often is. And yet, the point I want to make is that these books are still just as inspired by God, and they're fully inerrant and fully authoritative revelation from God, just as much as the Ten Commandments. But they reveal God in different ways, in the ways that are appropriate for Psalms and wisdom literature. And we'll explore these when we look at each book individually. And we'll try to hear the message of each book and its meaning for our life. Well, this then is an overview of what we can expect when we look at the poetic books. And of course, we'll look at each book individually in the next few sections. The next section, we're going to start with the book of Job. And I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for watching.